Hello. Oh, good morning. Good morning. All right, if we could find our seats for just a minute. Good morning. Hi. All right. What a beautiful day today is, the day that the Lord has made specifically for us. So I'd like for us to just, this morning, like most mornings when I wake up, my little one, my youngest, is usually awake and ready. I mean, he's just as energetic as ever. And sometimes I just want to lay in and relax, you know? And so my way of being able to do that is to say, hey, you want to cuddle? And he loves to cuddle. And so we'll go out to the couch and we'll just kind of rest. And he'll lay in my lap and he'll just squeeze. And he says, squeeze. And I'll squeeze him in. And I just feel like this morning is going to be one of those mornings where we just want to sit on that couch with Papa and just let him just cuddle us, you know? Just squeeze, squeeze until the peace or the joy comes, you know? Until that way we can get into our day right and get into our day ready to celebrate him and be as energetic as he is, because he is all energy, right? Oh, Jesus, 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 we just give this day to you, Father. We just give this time to you. Lord, we just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Papa, I'm so thankful that you created today specifically for me and for us, God, that we get to just spend this time with you. God, we just rest ourselves in you. We press our backs to you, God, and just feel your heartbeat. Yes, Lord. I don't want to rush this morning. I don't want to have distractions. So if there's anything that might distract you, just set it aside or in the row behind you and just press your forehead against Papa's and let him speak those sweet nothings to you. Yeah. Jesus, we love you.
As we focus our eyes on you, hearts toward you, lay all distractions down right now. We're here to worship our King Jesus. We're here to worship our King Jesus. We're here to worship you. Thank you. oh God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness.
I'm calling on the God of Mary, who laid her rest upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. On your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness.
Oh, you're faithful. You're so faithful. You're so faithful. Oh, you're so faithful. Yes, you're so faithful. Children now, you are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You move in power then, God move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You are a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you.
come and fill me again.
Sing it out, come and fill
me. Come and fill me again.
Who wants to be filled today?
Come and fill me again. Holy Spirit, won't you fill me again?
Oh, King Jesus.
Let's sing this one more time, church. Oh, God, my God.
Oh, God, my God, I need you. Oh, God, my God, I need you.
Just the voices.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Jesus. Oh rock of ages. I'm standing on your faithfulness. God, your faithfulness.
Give the Lord a shout of praise today. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you that you're here today. We thank you that you're here in this place. You're the only one we want, God. You're the only one we want, God. Jesus, precious Lord, none on the earth or heavens above, that I have found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. Just wanna move your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. Jesus, Jesus, my offering, all my ambitions, my hopes, my dreams. Here's my life, Lord, a sacrifice, oh, just to bless you. And I just wanna move you. Your gaze, right?
This morning, because I had something that I've been hearing this week. But the biggest thing that sticks out about this thing that's been on my heart this week is the reason why the enemy hates us so much. And he hates us so much because we look like God, because God created us with his hands and he breathed his breath in us. Now, we all know, we've heard, you know, the enemy was made with every beautiful jewel in him, and he walked like an instrument. As he walked, music came out. But that still was not what God wanted from him. God created us because he loved us, and he made us to look like him in his image. And also, he made us to worship. And we know, as the followers of Christ, that when we worship in spite of everything, we are standing in God and we are worshiping him in spite of everything. In spite of the sorrows, in spite of grief, in joy and happiness, in spite of heartbreak, whatever is going on with us, even when we have to give a sacrifice of praise, we are giving him praise. And we are still worshiping him and resting in his faithfulness. That is why the enemy hates us so much. So as we go into Holy Week, remember, God knew, Jesus knew what he was going into. He knew every single stripe he would receive. He knew every single nail that would happen. He knew every single curse that would happen. He knew it, and he still did it for you. And for me,
oh, the one who knows me best is the one who loves me most. And there is
the one who knows. You have bought me with your blood, and on your hand you've written out my name. And I am your beloved, one the Father loves. Your mercy has defeated all my shame.
Sing, I'm yours.
I am your beloved, you have bought me with your blood. And on your hand you've written out my name.
Yes, your mercy. Your mercy has defeated all my shame. Oh, your mercy.
Mercy.
Yes, your mercy.
Oh, mercy.
Mercy has defeated all my shame. It's your mercy.
So thankful, Lord, that we have this time of worship, Lord, for you, that we have the opportunity to lift your name, to gather corporately and lift your name. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, as we go into Holy Week and remember, Lord, of what you sacrificed for us because you loved us, because we're your children. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. And we just praise your name, Lord. And Lord, bless this lesson that pastors bring today, Lord, as our hearts are prepared and we go out to spread your word. Let our hearts be changed and let our minds be changed, Lord. Let us not stay the same that we were when we walked in, when we walk out today. And Lord, we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. So, give each other a hug or a handshake. There's coffee and refreshment, and we'll get back to the service in a minute.
Okay, praise the Lord. I know you guys could fellowship till church was over, but got a few other things to do. We've got the cross up today because this is to what?
Palm Sunday,
the day that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We're going to share about that a little bit in the message. But how many know that Jesus needs to be triumphant in people's lives? They need to see him be victorious. I remember when I've gone through my most difficult times and I've seen God come through faithfully, it's like a fresh revelation of God's love, God's power, God's anointing. And I believe people need to see that today. People need, in Yakima especially, need to see God's power, God's love, God's anointing, God's ability to take their broken lives and make them healed and whole and restored. Amen? So let's make a declaration over Yakima again today. On three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for Yakima. Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us to live here, that we are the residents of this place, that we are the sojourners in this place, as the word says, that we're here temporary, Lord, but we're here for a purpose. And so, Lord, I pray that in the coming days, weeks, and months, Lord, that especially those that are called by you and call you theirs, Lord, that you would allow their hearts to be stirred, revitalized, revived, Lord. Lord, that you would just allow them, Lord, to share the light of the glorious gospel, Lord, when they go into their workplaces, when they go to their schools, Lord, when they're talking in the byways, Lord, even at the place where people get gas and the grocery stores, Lord, that your people would shine, Lord, as the lights of the world that you've called us to be, Lord, as in being in your image. Lord, we pray that Yakima would be saved, Lord, that hearts and minds would turn towards you, that they turn away from the distractions of this life, the enticements of this life, the vices of this life, and turn towards the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just release your will over Yakima right now in Jesus' name. Your perfect divine plan, Lord, as you have desired it in heaven, let it be fulfilled in Yakima in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I just have a few announcements. So next Sunday is our Easter service. And every Sunday is a good Sunday to be in church. But you all, I'm sure, maybe not you all, but most of you in here have friends, family, coworkers, people that don't have a place to be on Sunday. this would be a good Sunday for them to come. And so I'm just going to put the challenge out there, and I'm even challenging myself in this, is that invite somebody. Just throw it out there. It doesn't have to be weird. Doesn't have to be pushy. But just say, hey, if you don't have a church to be at on Sunday, we're having church service. So, and then before that, we're also doing our continental breakfast. So this is also something that you could, everybody in here is invited to. Your friends and family are invited as well. And we're going to meet right over here in our overflow, and we're just going to have a light breakfast, and it's just going to be a time of fellowship, a time of connecting before service. And so everybody's invited, and we highly encourage everybody to come. And that's at 10 a.m. for just under half an hour right before service goes. And it's going to be a great time. And then the last thing is our spaghetti feed, our spaghetti fundraiser for the youth is happening at the end of the month. So this is the last Sunday of this month, and it'll be right downstairs, right after church. And this is a fundraiser that we're just raising money for our youth, so we can keep doing youth things. So the bigger events we have are going to youth camp, and so it's always nice to have extra funds so we can if we need to get a van, I'm a firm believer that financial reasons is never a reason for a student not to go to an event.
That's right.
And so even if I have to pay out of my own pocket, I will never let a student not go to an event because they can't afford it. And so it's nice when we have the funds as a church to be able to say, hey, we understand that you're in a tight spot. We want to bless you with that. And so things like that. So we'll have a sign-up sheet probably next week just for people who are saying, yes, I'm going to come. And yeah, last year was a lot of fun, and not all of our students, but a good amount of our students will be there serving you guys as well to show face, so they know that this is for them. And so it's going to be great. And then I think the last thing is our giving. So we just thank you guys for giving. Thank you guys for sowing into the house here and giving part of your income to what God's doing in this house. And so you can give in the boxes we have, one here and one back there, as well as you can give online. And we just appreciate everybody who sows, whether it's a little bit or a lot of bit. We just appreciate everybody who gives into the house. It goes a long way and does not go unnoticed as well. So,
amen. Thank you, Eric. Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. There we go. We were gone last week because we got to go to our granddaughter's state championship competition, and she took fifth place in the vault. Yeah, get the right event right. And she was really close to actually placing in the top eight. It was like 0.05.
On all four apparatuses.
On all four apparatuses, yeah. So she's disciplined. Like, she goes in 3 and 4 times a week, sometimes 4 hours a day at 10 years old. That's crazy. So
she's competing with 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
She's the only one that's that age in that group. So she's really disciplined.
Yeah, so we were really blessed. Thank you, team, and everybody for covering. And it's awesome to be able to go. Like, for years we haven't been able to go to family events and stuff, especially on Sundays. And Eric and Nancy and the family have been so good about honoring us and allowing us to do those things, and you as a family of faith agreeing with that. So that's good.
Thank you so much.
So today we're going to talk about one day at a time, and this is like a catchphrase that I like to use. I mean, I use it a lot. When talking to people, when I'm talking to someone and they're going through a struggle, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I've got all these, and they start thinking about all the things that are going to come up in the future because of maybe something that's happening at this very moment. And I try to remember them, said, well, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know all of that. So let's take one day at a time. Let's take a breath and let's just take one day at a time. So we're going to talk a little bit today about what it means to be trying to take one day at a time instead of the whole year thinking about every single thing that could happen. Maybe you've gotten a bad report and you've heard things that trouble your heart. You can focus on those things and you can let those things continue to be what captivate you, or we can, on the contrary, think about God, think about Him, think about His goodness, think about His love, think about what He's done for us, saving us. That can just be as simple as that. And then just stay in the moment one day at a time. So well, let's take a look at some scriptures here that kind of validate that. Interestingly enough, you guys remember we were in, Matthew 6:33 for a long time, right? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything will be added. Well, this is a verse after that. And I didn't plan it this way, but that's the way it worked out. So you want to go ahead and read it?
Yeah. Matthew 6:34 in the ESV says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble."
Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow, the next day, tomorrow, it's going to be anxious for itself. It's going to, there's enough going on, you know, tomorrow that you don't need to worry about it, but you've got stuff going on today. Sufficient for the day is what's going on today. Yeah. Let's look at some other translations, which I think kind of communicate this idea a little bit more precise or in a little different way. ERV?
Mm-hmm. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will have its own worries.
So don't worry about tomorrow, because today, you've got enough troubles in today. Would everybody agree that you've usually got enough troubles for today, or enough things to focus on, enough things to, you know, captivate your attention? Why start thinking about what tomorrow's going to bring, right? Mm-hmm. Take one day at a time. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I look at Gay because I know sometimes that's hard for you, right?
Well, it's hard for me because I'm a safety person. I like safe. I like to know what tomorrow is holding for me.
Security.
I need security. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a little girl, my dad was in the Navy, and there were five of us kids with my mom, and he was actually out on Navy ships in the middle of the ocean and would be on Navy ships for months at a time. And so we had no contact with Dad. And I've told this story before where there was a postal strike.
Yeah.
And all of the postmen did not deliver mail. Therefore, ship to land, the mail did not go anywhere. He couldn't send his checks home. So here's my mom with five kids, and we have no food now. And we're at the point where, you know, we're eating rice with boxed milk, and it's like the dry milk that you mix with water. And then it's like plain white bread with peanut butter on it. And then for dinner, it was elbow macaroni with ketchup in it. And honestly, we did that for months because there was no money. And so it was easy to worry about tomorrow because we knew tomorrow was going to hold the same thing that today did. Mm-hmm. And so much to his chagrin, I like to have my cupboards full of food. I like to know that there's milk in the refrigerator or that I have creamer for my coffee, which I've not been drinking for the last month, but that's neither here nor there. I like the security of knowing those things. But how much more important is it that I learn how to trust in my God?
Amen.
For today, not for tomorrow. And sometimes people have actually said, I'm going to eat this last bit of food, not knowing where in the morning I'm going to get breakfast for me or my kids. But God had a way of providing because they put their faith and trust in him.
Amen. Amen.
So, yeah.
New Living Translation.
NLT says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Today's trouble. Yep. Today's problems. Here's the Amplified version.
So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble.
Sufficient. There's enough sufficiency for today's troubles. We don't need to compound it with thinking about tomorrow. Here's a couple other translations.
Wow. Therefore, in the NIV says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
And then I want us to really look at the message, because the message nails it. Sometimes it just gets it just right.
Here we go. In the message, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes.
That's really the key. Yeah. That is really the key, that we get to the place where we're not being concerned about things tomorrow, because we know that if something comes up tomorrow, he's there with us. He's going to give us what we need for tomorrow. I think part of why we worry about tomorrow is that we don't have confidence in that God's going to continue to take care of us. That the situation that we're facing, I don't know how God's going to get me through. I don't know how it's going to happen. And I mean, you know, I know there's times that, you know, people get to the end of their ropes and they lose it. But as believers, we should have our confidence that God's got us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be a testimony that we have to the world. That should be something that when people see crisis in our lives, there's just a peace about us, because we're not letting the crisis be what we're focused on. We're focused on the one that's walking through the crisis with us, holding our hand, comforting our hearts. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at this word anxious. It means anxious or care, to have a distracting care. Like if you think about it, to worry and you're getting so focused on something that may be, you know, bad. It may have, you know, the signs of that this is not going to work out. Think of the children at the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. Egypt's now chasing them down, mm-hmm, in huge chariots ready to pounce on them. And they're now stuck at the Red Sea, and it's blocking their way. And they do murmur. They start crying. Oh, we're going to die. You know, they lose it. They start looking at the sea instead of the one that just delivered them through 10 mighty plagues, including one that killed all the firstborn of Egypt. They were given all this gold, all this money, all these resources to leave Egypt, and yet they're now focusing again on this Red Sea, not the one that can get them through this. Mm-hmm. Do we do that? When we get to our Red Sea, when we get to a place like, oh, there's no way. There's no way this is going to happen. There's no way I'm getting through this. Yeah, there is. There is a way we get through it. I'm here to tell you that you can go through anything with God's help. Mm-hmm. Anything. Gone through a divorce with God's help. Gone through the loss of a son with God's help. Gone through jobs changes with God's help. Gone through, you know, leaving, you know, a good, solid paying job and going into the ministry with God's help. Our needs have been met. But if I would focus on those problems, it's like I'm putting an undue stress on my heart. I'm putting an unnecessary burden on me that I don't have to carry.
My grandmama used to say that she was fretting. And that's actually an action word. She would sit and she would just twiddle with her fingers, and she was fretting about something that had yet to happen. And that's what this is saying.
It's a verb. This word is a verb. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. And she would just, I'm surprised that she didn't have calluses on her fingers as she would do this over and over and over again, just wondering, you know, what was going to happen, how it was going to work out. And it was about something that hadn't even transpired yet. But you would ask your grandmama, what's wrong with you? And she said, oh, just fretting about blah, 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 you know. But this is what God is saying, is that this anxious care, to have a distracting care, means we're distracted from something. And that means the enemy is distracting us from God.
Yeah.
And if it's a distractive care that you have going on in your life, recognize it for the enemy's plot against you to get you to look off of what God wants you to look at. I remember saying this, and I don't know who I said it to, but if we all look at this speaker up here and we keep looking at that speaker, you know what's out of your peripheral, but you're looking at that speaker and you're not taking your gaze off that speaker. Now, I know that if I were to look this direction, that there would be the baptismal the stage, all of the other stuff, I would know it would be up there, but I'm so focused on that speaker. But if I get my eyes off that speaker, off of God, and I put it on the stage, the baptismal, something, that's then I'm not looking at God. And now God's in my peripheral. We have to recognize the enemy will do anything to get our gaze off of him.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, it means to be anxious, troubled, worrying, to take thought. I think this is something that some of these other scriptures we're going to look at is how are our thoughts being utilized here? Are we just letting the negative come in, and then that's that, like you said, that's the screen that we're focused on? Oh, this, that, oh, what a world. I don't know what I'm going to do. And like you said, what am I going to do? You know, and again, most of the time, those are things that are possibilities that are going to happen, right? I mean, obviously, if things are happening right in the moment, we can carry a heavy heart. We can, you know, there's always going to be things, you know, that we can feel the moment. But there's no reason to feel the moment for tomorrow or for 2 years from now or from a week that might potentially happen. Why would we do that? Why would we take that weight of something that hasn't happened yet, may not happen at all, and yet we carry it on us? And then, you know, we're walking around with our head down and, you know, like you said, Grandma, everything looks good, but what's going on? I'm just fretting. I'm worried. You know, who knows what she was thinking about?
Right.
Obviously, it was... The focus that unfortunately she was on was of those problems. Because I know she knew the Lord, right?
Yeah.
She could have said, Lord, these are yours. I give these to you. I cast these at your feet. I'm not going to carry them anymore. Let's go and look at another verse.
Luke 12, 25 and 26 in the ESV says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?"
Right. And of course, Jesus, a lot of times he was talking about, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, you know, how you're going to be clothed, where you're going to stay, all of these things that to them, you know, were really important, because, you know, it wasn't like today where we have, you know, massive amounts of income and all of those things. I mean, you know, they were, some of them were, you know, living, you know, hand to foot, or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, day to day.
Hand to mouth.
There we go. Hand to foot. There we go. Yeah. Hand to mouth. Thank you. You knew what I meant. Mm-hmm. but why are you anxious about all those things if you can't add a single minute to your life
right.
by worrying about it? Why worry about all the rest? Mm-hmm. Here's another verse. Matthew 6, 9 through 13.
"Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
So,
for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. This is true. But verse 11, give us this day, today. Give us today what we need. Not concerned about tomorrow. Give us today what we need. And do we need peace, Lord, today? This is talking about daily bread. Sometimes, you know, it's not just physical bread. We need the bread that we're to receive from heaven. And that could be his peace for the situation that we're in. That could be his strength to go through something. That could be his courage to share our faith with someone. We don't know what we're going to need, but he can give it to us that we need today. Amen?
Amen. Okay, so I have to tell you something
okay. That'll
help you remember this scripture, okay?
Okay?
It's this little boy or little girl, and mama's asking her, "Honey, what did you tell me about God's name?" She says, "His name is Howard." And she said, "What? His name is Howard." "Well, what do you mean his name is Howard?" And she goes, "Yeah." She said, "Well, why do you think it's Howard?" And she goes, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, so now this is a good way for you to remember this scripture, because the next line is, your kingdom come.
Yeah.
It's going to come, whether you fret about it or not.
Right.
So why fret? Why be anxious?
Amen. That's good. Another verse.
Isaiah 26:3, and this is in the NLT. You will keep in perfect peace who all... Okay, I'm going to start that over. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. In the ESV, mm-hmm. it is, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you.
So you're being told this through Isaiah the prophet to the people of God, and he's saying, you will keep in perfect peace all. You, Father, you're going to keep them in perfect peace. That's shalom, shalom. That's like saying complete, perfect wholeness, wellness, peace. I mean, it's like everything.
Encapsulate
not just peace where there's no storm in your life. Peace where you're fulfilled, you're complete. That kind of peace, whose mind, whose thoughts, whose hearts, is what fixed thinking, set their trust in you. That's where you can get through or get past the idea of I'm going to focus on this problem that's coming up in a week, and I don't know how I'm going to take care of it. And you're worrying about that. If you start setting your mind on Him, your thoughts on Him, praying to Him, you know, asking the Lord to help you see things through His eyes. You know, there's many things that you can ask the Lord. Ask Him for His peace. Lord, I receive that peace that you released to the disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give this peace to you as the world gives. I give it supernaturally, and you can receive it. And we can receive that same peace today that the disciples had available to them.
Right.
Through the peace of the Holy Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. But He's keeping us, and when He keeps us in perfect peace, mm-hmm. when we keep our minds. See, He's going to keep us when we keep our thoughts. Yep. It's not that He's not keeping us before, but we're fretting, we're worrying, we're letting our emotions run wild, and we're not able to live in the peace of God, mm-hmm. even though it's there for us. It's always there for us. I don't think any of us as the believers should lack any peace. That doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hard times, but the peace is available for us to receive. Mm-hmm. All right. I wanted to bring up the scriptures. Actually, it should be 1 through 10. You're going to catch me on that. This is Mark when Jesus is making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem for the week before Passover. And he is coming in, and he's going to, as we read here, he's going to have the people going crazy, you know, putting down palm branches and all that stuff. And they're going to be so excited because they think their king is coming in. And what I want us to realize is that when he was sitting on that colt, he was knowing that in a week he was going to go to the cross, that these same ones, we're going to be cheering for his death, cheering for his destruction. And yet in that moment, he lived in that moment in God. Mm-hmm. He wasn't, I mean, can you imagine if it was us? We know that these people are going to be doing this, how we would just say, I'm not getting on that. You guys are going to go two-face on me. But he lived out this idea of not being concerned about tomorrow. Let's go and read it.
Verse 1 through 10. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest."
Hosanna in the highest. So we have this jubilation that's taking place. And do you think Jesus was sitting there in that moment with his face all downcast? Because he knows? No, I'm sure in that moment he was receiving that joyous moment with his heart full. Because he was in God for the moment. He wasn't thinking about next week at that time. He wasn't letting it consume him. And that same spirit that was in Christ that raised him from the dead is in us, folks. We can do the same thing. Even if we know terror faces us tomorrow, we don't have to let that terror of tomorrow change our joy today.
He knew what was coming, but he was not consumed by what was coming.
He wasn't consumed. He wasn't distracted.
Right.
He was still able to minister to the crowds. He was still able to focus on his disciples. In just a couple of days, he's gonna do the Passover meal. He washed their feet. You know, he loved them in that moment. He took the moment that he had. He took the time. You know, I say one day at a time. You could say one moment at a time. One second at a time that we've been given in God, let's live it to the fullness. Not let things woulda, coulda, shoulda distract us. That's what I mean by when I say one day at a time. Guys, take it one day at a time. Take the day, live through today. Don't worry about tomorrow. See how God meets your needs tomorrow and help him walk with him today through this day. All right. You have anything else? No? Okay. But one thing I want us to leave us with, this was interesting because I had in my heart, oh, serenity prayer, and I remember some of it, and I just thought it was these first 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. I didn't know it was all the rest. I'd never seen it before. How many have heard the serenity prayer or seen it? A lot of times people have it in their kitchen. They'll show a man, you know, praying and
but it will asking. Be the first 4 lines that they have.
Most
Not
of the time, yeah, I've never seen this other part, but I said, oh, Lord, that's why you led me down this path. Okay, go ahead. Let's read the Serenity Prayer.
By Reinhold Niebuhr, 1892 to 1971, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Mm. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen.
Isn't that good?
Beautiful. Yeah.
Living one day at a time. I had no idea there was a prayer out there like that.
Enjoying one moment.
Enjoying one moment at a time. And the thing is, it's like, we could let all of the news and all the things that are going on in the world, all the craziness, because there's a lot of craziness, and we could let it overwhelm our hearts to the place where we lose our joy. Mm-hmm. We lose our light. To the place where we don't shine because we're just becoming just like the world, worried about what's going to happen, worried about what the next war might be, worried are we going to do this, are they going to do that, who's going to be elected, are we going to become a communist country? All of these things you could start thinking about. That's out there. Or you can live one day at a time, one moment at a time, enjoying it in God, realizing that if hardships do come, they're a pathway to God's peace. In other words, the difficulties that we face could be the way that we truly receive new levels of God's peace if we choose to receive them instead of coming to those hardships and letting those hardships overwhelm us to the place where we are not receiving the gift that we could receive at that moment. Because I can tell you, I've been in situations where I called on God's peace and it flooded my soul so much that my heart was healed. Even though what I was facing was an unknown. Taking, as he did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it be, or as he would have it be. In other words, he, at the time when those people were, yay, King of the Jews, you know, yay, Hosanna in the highest, here comes our great King, you know, and in the moment, he took them as they were. And on the cross, he took them as they were. And that's when he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing right now as they crucify me and as they curse me.
This kind of reminds me of the day of Aaron's funeral, our son's funeral. And I don't know how he did it, but in the midst of the service, he actually got up and spoke. And I could tell that the peace of God was flooding him, because he would not have been able to do that otherwise. And standing up there and saying that our boy, who never said, I love you, who never put his arms around us and hugged us, who was completely, totally, 100% dependent on us for everything that happened in his life, the people in his world had to supply all of it. But he was able to stand and thank God, because God, through Aaron, taught him that heart of peace and love. And that's what God wants for all of us, to learn that heart of peace and love. And that it not be special moments, but that it be a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hard part. Is that God can flood us with peace on special occasions like the funeral, but it can actually be a way of life for us. We don't have to live in a world consumed by fear, consumed by worry. We don't have to live that way. He did not die for you to live in that condition. He didn't. He died to free you from that condition.
Amen. To set us free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And whom the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. Free from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of oppression, free from depression, all of those things. Christ died for us to be free. And when we stay in our prison cell, whatever it is, whatever your jail cell, whatever your thing is that is not, you're not living in freedom, just know that he has the key. He has the key to let you out. He has the key to release you. You don't have to stay in that state. Right. Amen. Amen. Does anyone have anything else they want to add to this? Anything on your heart?
Bob, you have to come here. Make sure to keep it short.
Okay. I think it's in.
Is it on? I need to turn it on there, Bob. Yeah.
There
got
you
turned
go.
Off. There
All
you
right.
go. Go ahead.
I think it's in Psalm 119, 104. I know it's in 119, but it says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the lights they had back then were only just little torches. They could only see just a few steps ahead.
That's right. Yeah.
So as we trust the Lord, you know, we can see just a step ahead, and we keep plugging along. You know, without the hardships, we wouldn't appreciate the blessings.
Amen.
You know, if we had everything we wanted, it just when we wanted it, we wouldn't even need God.
Yeah.
You know? But it's in the hardships we look to him.
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
Good.
Anyone else?
Yeah. No, come on. People have to hear you online.
They want to know your deep wisdom.
So I was thinking about worry. I don't know if that was in the scripture, but I know that worry is faith in the thing that you don't want to have happen or you don't want to come to pass.
That's good.
So if we have, if we worry, that proves we have faith. So why put it in something that you don't want to have happen? Why don't you put it in the Lord? And then the other one, a couple weeks ago, I know that the word mindset, it just kept getting hit with mindset. We have the ability to change our mindset. We really do, because we have Holy Spirit living within us.
Amen.
To teach us and to show us, no, not that way, this way. So we have the ability, and I really believe that that's going to start happening for a lot of us.
Amen. Amen.
Changed mindsets.
Amen. Yep, renewed minds, right?
You don't want to have happen.
Anybody else? Anybody?
All right.
Going.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for just being the one that gives us the ability to not have to look at every single day that's ahead of us and worry and fret and stew over it, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, living in us, the Prince of Peace living in us, the God of Shalom living in us, Lord, that we can have peace even in the most craziest times in our life. That's because of what you did, Lord, on the cross for us. That's because you reestablished a covenant relationship with the Father for us, Lord. And we don't have to settle. We don't have to be just, you know, dragging the bottoms, Lord. We're overcomers, Lord. We're more than conquerors, Lord. You've allowed us, Lord, to be, Lord, full of your Spirit, full of success in our spiritual walk because of what you've done, Lord. So help all of us, Lord, to live one day at a time, to enjoy the moments that you give us, and not allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, what you want to do in our lives. I just bless everyone right now, Lord, with a new level of faith, Lord, in you, and able to remove the worries, the faith in what could happen. Just release this now over our hearts and our minds, Lord, and ask you to bring that new mindset, to transform our thinking.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
The one who loves me most. There is nothing I have done that could change the Father's love. Nothing.
mercy and grace and your love is just overflowing children tonight. And I just pray, God, as we continue on in our lives and our day-to-day, God, that we would just be so thankful, Lord, every single day, God, of how much you love us. God, that we would not fret about tomorrow. We would not fret about next week or next month or next year. God, regardless of what we think might be coming, God, we would put our faith in the fact that you're coming, God. And I just thank you so much, God, for the blessing that you are. And I pray for every house represented here that these houses, these families would be filled with peace. They'd be filled with health. They'd be filled with provision. And I just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this house, God. God, we just release, Lord, your peace and your blessing over today, God. As we celebrate, Lord, you this week, God, and coming upon Easter, Lord, and we get ready to gather with families, Lord, that we would remember it's about you, Jesus. So I thank you, Father, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.